Welcome to Bollocks, Talks, and Tangents. I got my co-host here back in studio with me. Derek, missed you last week.
Sorry I wasn't here. Unforeseen circumstances with the family, but these things happen.
Great to have you back. Great to have you back. I had a great show with Captain Mayhem last week, but today's show, so much fun. The tangents we went down.
Oh, every rabbit hole in the world.
So much fun. But first thing I want to do is I want to talk about our sponsors. We have the Beacon and Gypsy Cab. They co-host. I want to talk about Gypsy Cab. So Gypsy Cab has this really cool deal out right now. It's called the Inflation Buster.
The Inflation Buster.
Inflation Buster.
I need that.
So they're doing meals for under $10 on certain days. So just ask for the special, and there's an Inflation Buster at Gypsy Cab. And you know the great food they have at Gypsy Cab.
The food is amazing. I ate so much takeout from Gypsy this summer. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Amazing food.
Yeah.
Absolutely top notch. Inflation Buster, under $10. That's incredible. Yeah.
No, it's great food. And Ned's got a new cooking show coming out.
Seriously?
I'm excited about it. Ned from Gypsy.
Yeah.
He's back at Gypsy and working with him again. And he's got his own show coming out. So congratulations to Ned.
Ned's a heck of a good guy. That was the first proper restaurant I ever ate in St. Augustine.
Okay.
Like probably back in 90 or 91. Where,
when you call a proper restaurant, that means it has real napkins?
Yeah, I got to sit down indoors.
Oh, okay. You sat at a table.
It didn't have a drive-thru.
Well, cheers, sir. Welcome back.
Good to be here.
All right. That's my first taste. Oh, it hit me hard, too. All right. So today's whiskey of the week. Or this week's whiskey of the week. All right, and this is a gift from the first guest we had in the parlor. So it's actually a Maker's Mark, and it's finished in a French oak barrel.
Oh, it's very fancy.
It's very. I should put my pinky out when I drink.
You really should.
So
I'm surprised you don't have an accent right now.
I don't know how to do a French accent. Oui, oui. Ooh la la. All right, so one of the things we try and do to start off the show is we talk about word origins.
We do.
All right, I sent you this one, and did you know this one?
I had heard of this. I'd forgotten it. I think it's fantastic.
Okay, so okay.
Okay.
Okay. Blake, you've used okay, right? The term okay. I didn't realize it came from a political ad.
That's right. It came from a political ad for our 8th president.
Yes.
Martin Van Buren.
Yeah.
So what was the connection to the okay?
Okay, so he was old Kinderhook. He was from a city in upstate New York called Kinderhook.
Okay.
Okay. So, see, we use it more than we even know. Yeah. All of us say okay.
All the time.
All the time. And what it was you were okay with old Kinderhook.
Old Kinderhook. And that's...
That's how it became part of our conversation.
Yeah. Martin Van Buren. I love Van Buren. I don't know if you remember this. Anybody, whoever watched Seinfeld, one of my favorite Seinfeld episodes is when Kramer is running from the Van Buren boys.
Mm.
And their sign is the Ocho. They get a hold of 8 fingers mm-hmm. because he was their 8th president. And it's a very, very odd, as Seinfeld is, it's a very, very odd episode. But mm-hmm. I always remember that he was the 8th president simply because of Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's the reason you know. And I'll tell you this, like I can name the first 10 pretty easy. And I forget Van Buren.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the first 10 after that, there's a whole gap after first 10.
The wig.
From the first 10 to Lincoln, I'm like, who?
We forget the wigs.
Yeah.
So we forget those. All right, so we're talking about presidents and weird president facts or funky president facts this week. So I looked up quite a few. I do a lot of trivia, and I love presidents.
You do.
So I want you to kind of challenge me a little bit and throw a president at me that you might have a same fact on or something like that. Or we might have two different facts on altogether. Okay.
All right.
Old Kinder.
I'll give it a go.
Okay.
This is for you, Martin Van Buren, with your excellent mutton chops. He had great mutton chops.
Yeah.
I had great mutton chops. Okay. I'll give you one. So tell me something you know about Franklin Pierce.
Oh, you hit me with one of the ones I was not prepared for. Wait, what do you got for Franklin Pierce?
Okay, so Franklin Pierce.
I know he wasn't very well liked.
He was not very well liked.
Yeah, here's a fact I know about Franklin Pierce. He was so disliked, he didn't win the nomination the next go around. And he was so disliked, I'm pretty sure, no, that was John Tyler. Lincoln didn't put the flags at half mast. Was that Pierce or was that John Tyler?
That was Tyler.
Okay, all right.
So Pierce was our 14th president.
Yes.
Right? He was, his nickname was Hero of Many a Well Fought Bottle because he was a raving alcoholic. Uh-huh. And
when he didn't win the election, he says, "All I need to do is have a drink."
There you go.
So he lived up to that.
He did. So Mark Little, who teaches over at St. John's River, Mark Little told me some great stories about Franklin Pierce. But one of the great stories was Pierce would regularly go on benders in Washington. And he was several times arrested and picked up drunk out of his mind in a ditch. And once he was gone for 3 days straight, and they had to
say... He was president at the time and gone for three days. Can you imagine it happening today?
He was in a holding cell, and nobody would believe that he was Franklin Pierce, the president. Uh-huh. And they sent White House staff out...
Because he was so drunk.
...to look for him. And eventually they found him in the lockup, and they had to, you know, get him back. That's the beauty of 19th century politics.
Yeah.
That's Franklin Pierce. But my favorite Franklin Pierce story is... Right after he won the nomination in 1853, January of 1853, his son was killed in a train accident. Mm-hmm. And his son was quite literally decapitated in the train accident. And his wife never forgave Franklin. She blamed his campaign and his election. Mm-hmm. She believed that God had cursed the family. And so she refused to go to the inauguration and refused to have anything to do with him during his presidency.
Wow.
And the death of the kid and the decapitation actually just increased his alcoholism.
Yeah.
So, Franklin Pierce.
Yeah. All right. So, I'm going to throw something at you.
All right. Throw one at me.
So, we've had one president that's held a patent. We've had a president that's had that's won a Grammy.
Okay.
All right. And we've had two presidents that were adopted. One legally, one not legally. Which one you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the adoption.
Okay, the adoption
is great.
The adoption, the one most people know about, the one that's legal, is Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton, yes.
William Blight was the name, almost like the pirate. It was something along those lines.
Yeah.
But he was legally adopted by Clinton, his mom's second husband.
Okay.
All right. The one I had no idea about, I knew about Clinton.
Yeah.
The one I had no idea about was Gerald Ford.
Really?
So Gerald Ford was adopted. He was born Leslie King Jr.
Leslie King Jr.
All right. His mom left his biological father.
Okay.
When he was 16 days old. All right. 16 days old. She later, a couple years, probably about age two and a half, she married another gentleman with the last name Ford.
Ford, okay.
They changed his name, but never legally changed his name.
Wow.
Until he was in his 20s. And he found out when he was 17 that he was adopted.
Oh, that's fantastic.
All right. So Gerald Ford and his biological father had off and on relationship with him after he was 17.
That's okay. Great
stuff. And he came from a great family. His biological father and his grandfather paid child support for Gerald Ford up until he died. And that's when the grandfather died is the same age. Gerald Ford was born in 13. Grandfather died in 30 at age 17 when he found out that he had a biological father. Because they told him about his grandfather.
Yeah.
So all that worked together. But the other cool fact that people don't really realize is Gerald Ford was a hell of an athlete.
He was a great athlete. He played football.
He was a center. He was a center at Michigan.
That's right.
He's the only president that's ever been drafted to a professional sports team.
What sports team?
I don't remember which team. Blake, do you remember what team it was? You actually asked the other day. Blake quizzed me the other day what position he played, and I said center. I knew he played center, but he played here. Here's where we're at, just so you understand football then and now.
Yeah,
he played center at 185 pounds.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, can you imagine a center at 185 pounds now?
I can't imagine a kicker at 185.
Yeah. A punter's like 6'5".
Yeah.
So that's where it's at.
Well, that's great. So I got one. Speaking of adoptions or kids or that, but. Uh-huh. So Warren G. Harding, who many people consider to be the worst president of all time.
Oh, it's horrible. He's right? a horrible human.
Terrible human being.
A horrible human being.
Right.
How he became president, I do not understand.
Right.
How bad was things in 1920?
After scandal after scandal after scandal. So he was our 29th president.
Mm-hmm.
He had tons and tons of... tons of rumored affairs over the years, but two have been confirmed. And he was, some of the letters that were released once they'd hit whatever number of years you can release these things, he actually referred to his own penis as Jerry. And he referred, he used to give his penis like the personality of a human being. And he would talk about, to his mistress, how much Jerry missed this one lady, Carrie Fulton Phillips was her name.
Yeah.
And they actually, right when he won the nomination, the Republican Party actually paid her $25,000 to shut up in 1920.
Yeah.
But he wrote regular love letters to her as Jerry, his penis, talking to her. And the further I followed up on Warren G. Harding, and it was dreadful stuff, like terrible things. Like, it was really good that he died of a heart attack. Like, he had a heart attack. Great stuff that he died, had a heart attack. But he fathered a child with another mistress called Nan Britton. And it was only proved through DNA.
The DNA test proved it, like in 2002.
Yeah.
So
and it was one of those things.
And it was like, yes, this really happened.
And that was his only kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Warren G. Harding.
Worst president. Well, the teapot scandal. Teapot dome scandal, where he hired, like, he became president. It's like, screw it. I'm putting all my friends in the
cabinet. All of my friends are going to be in the cabinet.
All my drinking buddies.
Yeah.
All my buddies that run around in the brothels with me.
Yeah.
All of them are with him.
He said famously...
He drank more during Prohibition...
than anybody.
Than Capone.
He once said, I got a handle on my enemies, it's my friends that worry me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So he... when he died, and this leads me to one of my other weird, brilliant presidential facts, Calvin Coolidge was vice president, Silent Cal, and Calvin Coolidge was visiting his father in Vermont. And Calvin Coolidge was sworn in by his father. Calvin Coolidge's father was a notary public, and he swore his son in to be president. And that's the first and only time that that has ever happened.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I, when you said Calvin Coolidge, I think the fact I had about Calvin Coolidge is he had pet raccoons.
He did have pet raccoons.
And they were allowed to run around the White House. So, but I want to tell you this. Harding might be the worst president.
For sure.
But the president that sounds like he's the biggest dick of all time is Hoover. Do you know what he did? All right, so Hoover spoke fluent Mandarin. Him and his wife both spoke fluent Mandarin. So if he didn't want anyone to know what he was saying, him and his wife would talk Mandarin.
Okay.
Not the worst part. Okay, I can go along with that.
Yeah.
All right. But any servant that worked in the White House, he was not allowed to make eye contact with him. They were not allowed to make eye contact with him. If they saw him coming into a room, they had to jump into a closet or underneath a table he would fire them.
Seriously?
Wow. You know, I know we've had a lot of dick presidents.
Terrible presidents.
Right?
But Hoover.
But Hoover, I think, takes the cake.
Wow.
Worst damn president. And because of the damn, it fits.
It does. Hoover.
It fits. It fits, so.
Ah, well, I would have just go back. So Calvin Coolidge was also our only president born on 4th of July.
So, yeah, we've had one born on 4th of July and three die on the 4th.
Three died on 4th of July, right? Jefferson? Adams?
Yeah, they died the exact
same
day. Exact same day.
And was it Monroe?
It was one of the early ones. Monroe. It was Monroe.
We think it was Monroe. Right. But yeah, three died.
It's in there somewhere. It's in there somewhere. It's in the tangent somewhere.
In the tangent somewhere.
Right.
Oh, Hoover, what a terrible person.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Just awful. Just awful.
Okay, give me... Right. Can I throw another one at you?
Yes.
Okay. James Buchanan.
The second worst president.
Worst president of all time, James Buchanan.
Second worst president.
Yeah.
And the only president that was never married.
Never married, ladies and gentlemen.
But he was coupled.
He was a couple.
He was coupled. And he lived with an Alabama senator.
William King.
King, exactly.
Yeah.
So William King was an Alabama senator. Buchanan was our 15th president right before Lincoln. Right before Lincoln.
Yeah.
He was our first gay president. All right? And
or at best, he was asexual.
Yes. Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you this. I have a quote from Buchanan, and it basically says it's a love letter he wrote to King because King moved to Paris.
Aw.
Him and King broke up.
Aw.
All right, him and King lived together.
They lived
for over 10 years.
10 years.
And both of them were very wealthy men and could afford their own house. Yeah. It was not like, oh, we're roommates. Let's save the money.
Right.
So he wrote, I am alone in the house, and I have tried swooning other gentlemen with no success.
Oh.
And that's what he wrote to King in Paris. And it was a letter that was found after Buchanan's no longer in presidency.
Yeah.
But what was the nickname?
So
that Andrew Jackson gave to Buchanan.
So Andrew Jackson, I believe, called him Miss Fancy or Miss Nancy.
Yeah, I think it was Miss Nancy and Aunt Fancy.
And Aunt Fancy, that's right.
That's what he called King, because they were together everywhere.
Yeah.
They lived together. It was obviously they were a couple.
And it was, to be fair, it was common for young senators, young congressmen back in those days, when they were poor, they would live together.
When they were poor.
Right. But these two guys were incredibly wealthy men.
Yeah.
And there is no evidence ever of Buchanan having any romantic involvement.
King with another woman.
Yeah.
Buchanan was engaged at one point.
He was, that's right, you're right, when he was a young man. Yeah.
And she found
She found out
and ended it. So we, you know, people say the U.S. is not progressive, but our 15th president.
We beg to differ.
Our 15th president was a gay man.
Was very progressive.
All right. Indeed. So we talked about Andrew Jackson.
Yeah. Oh.
And there's like so many stories. And I don't know if people understand this. Jacksonville is named after Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson was our first governor when we were a territory.
That's right.
So.
Was he our meanest president? Like stone cold, absolute son of a bitch, pure mean.
I think as far as badassery,
yes.
I think that's a word.
Definitely.
It's a word now. I think as far as badassery, he's the man. Yeah, Old Hickory.
So. Old Hickory.
Is his name.
And he was like 127 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah. No, like, he was not. He was like, when I read it, I was like, that's Conor McGregor.
yeah.
you know what I mean? It kind of fits that mode.
He kind of had that.
And neither one of us are big guys. So, yeah. But we outweighed him by 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Incredible. But he was in over 100 duels. And I don't know. And they said 99 of them were probably about his wife. I don't know what kind of person his wife was.
So there's a story. So his wife, Rachel, she was accused of being a bigamist because she wasn't technically divorced when she married Andrew Jackson. Mm-hmm. Even though she was under the impression that her husband had divorced her, he just never actually had.
Never actually.
And that was the cause of his most famous duel.
Okay.
Well, the second reason for his most famous duel.
Okay.
The first cause of the famous duel with Charles Dickinson.
Yeah.
Was they fell out over a horse race.
Ah.
And they fell out over a horse race and a bet, and Dickinson accused Andrew Jackson of skullduggery. And then he doubled down by accusing Rachel, Jackson's wife, of being a bigamist.
Yeah.
And Jackson got a little bit annoyed.
Yeah.
To put it mildly.
Yeah. Well, this guy got shot in the chest.
He got shot in the duel.
He got shot in the chest in the duel in 1806.
In 1806.
Okay, that's not bad enough. He survived.
He did.
He lived. He gets shot again in another duel in 1813 in the arm.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what's, I don't know, you ever seen Hamilton?
I have,
Don't throw away your shot or what, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of times in duels,
right, they just
shoot in there or shoot it in the ground or shoot it away and they throw away their shot.
Honor served.
Yeah, yeah. We got this. We're good. We're hugging it out like bros. But no.
If you were dueling
Andrew Jackson, you better be shooting. You better be shooting him.
So Dickinson shot Andrew Jackson in the chest.
Yes.
And then Jackson got up off the ground, took his shot, and killed
Jackson. I know. That's the badassery.
Yeah.
Of Andrew Jackson is quite impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Forget about what you thought of him as a human being. Mm-hmm. Forget about his politics. He was a stone cold bad ass.
He earned Old Hickory.
Yes, he did.
All right. So, and people don't realize this, and I don't know, and we're throwing this history out there about U.S. presidents and stuff. So the first actual population where we could actually vote as a regular citizen for president didn't take place until the sixth president was put into place. Okay, so George Washington never got...
Six was Quincy Adams?
John Quincy Adams.
All right,
so George Washington never went to popular vote. It was all electoral. Jefferson, Adams, Monroe, Madison. None of them ever had to go to popular. It was always electoral. All right, so the first vote nationwide was John Quincy Adams when he became president. Okay. John Quincy Adams finished third.
Yeah.
He finished third. Andrew Jackson finished first.
Yeah.
John Quincy Adams was in the House of Representatives.
That's right.
So he had a lot of friends there. So it went to the House of Representatives to decide who was president. That's how John Quincy Adams became president.
Yeah.
John Quincy Adams then got his ass kicked by Andrew Jackson the next time.
4 years later, yeah.
And he went back to the only president to ever do this, to go from president back to the House of Representatives.
That's brilliant. Now, John Quincy Adams, I came across this, looking at him this week, supposedly had the highest IQ of any president.
The other one that's up there, and people think he's a dummy, because I went to the IQ thing too,
yeah,
is Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yeah, Joe, yeah. Carter's just phenomenal. Yeah,
he graduated from Annapolis.
He did. He was a nuclear engineer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's the only president that has ever officially reported a UFO sighting.
That's right. Jimmy Carter. My favorite Carter quote was after Hurricane Andrew in 92 down in South Florida, and Homestead is just devastated, and the only houses that are still standing are the Habitat for Humanity houses.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody asked Jimmy Carter...
That's what he won the Nobel Prize for.
Right. Yeah. And they asked Jimmy Carter, how are your houses still standing? And he said, we use real nails. But that storm was what made all the building codes and everything change in Florida.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew, 91 changed everything in the construction world. The straps, everything changed in 91. Jimmy Carter's also our president that's lived the longest of any of our presidents.
Right. Was he 96? Is he 96?
I think he's older than that.
Something like that.
I think he's 98. He's about to be 100, I think. I don't know. Blake, if you can look that up for us, we'd appreciate that. Help your dad out.
But he was always...
And we got to give...
97?
Wow. Well, I said 98. Ah, we split it. Good job. Difference. Split the difference. All right. Do you know which president is the only president that holds a U.S. patent?
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
Not a clue.
I'm going to tell you this. This president, and it never got built, he developed a patent that floats ships once they get into harbor to work on, and it was Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln's the only president to actually hold a U.S. patent.
That's incredible. Good old Honest Abe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's fantastic.
All right, one of the funnest things I saw, and I didn't realize John Adams and Jefferson were so close before they became opponents politically.
Yeah, they were buds. They were tight.
They were tight. All right, so they went to London, and they went to Stratton-on-the-Avon, Shakespeare's house.
Yeah.
They were hanging there, and they actually chipped off a piece of wood, and they split it from Shakespeare's chair. And so they actually vandalized the Shakespeare house together.
Oh, that's great.
Together. And then they said so many awful things about each other, and they hated each other for almost 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
But they died on the exact same day, the 50 years of the signing, the 4th of July, 50 years later.
Right,
of
the signing 1826.
Of the, 1826.
Yeah.
All right. And Jefferson said on his deathbed, at least Adams still alive. He didn't realize Adams had died earlier that morning. That day.
So my thing about Adams, John Adams and John Quincy Adams, of our first 12 presidents, were the only two who did not own slaves. Of the first 12,
yes,
they were the only two that didn't own slaves.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind.
Yeah. No, no, it's incredible. And here's something, and one of my favorite presidents is Grant.
Okay, good old Ulysses S.
Ulysses.
By the way, a lot of people, a lot of the places when I looked at the IQ said he had the lowest IQ of any of our presidents.
He may have, but he had a morality that was very strong. And, you know, my IQ is low. My morality is low.
Yeah, I have no morality.
Morals. My bar is very low.
Yeah.
But Grant, when he got married, his wife's family gave them a slave.
Yeah.
The next day, he went down and signed the freedom. Grant was a very, very poor man at that time. A slave at that time was probably worth about $1,500 at that time.
Wow.
I mean, it was worth it. It was a male. I mean, males were worth more than females. And he needed the money. He didn't sell him. He didn't do anything. He went down and signed his freedom that day.
Wow. Just like that.
Yeah.
So before we came on the show, we were talking about how many presidents never had vice presidents.
Oh, yeah.
This incredible. Was something I never knew this. I never, ever knew that.
And it wasn't a real big thing during the 1800s.
Yeah. Like Millard Fillmore. Okay, we elected a guy
horrible called name.
Millard.
Never would happen in today's social media.
Never. By the way, we didn't elect him. He was never actually elected.
Yeah, no.
He became president when Zachary Taylor died. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Zachary Taylor was the president.
Another story, Zachary Taylor's story.
Right, go on.
He got killed by cherries.
Yeah, mercury poison.
He got killed by cherries. He ate too many cherries at the dedication of the Washington Monument.
Yep.
And he got killed. He drank cold milk. They don't know if it was the milk or the cherries that the bacteria killed him.
Yeah.
And
they think the doctors treated him with mercury, which exacerbated it and killed him.
Not the first president, not the only president that died because of doctors.
That is very, very true.
we'll get back to that one.
But yeah, Millard Fillmore never had a vice president. Chester Arthur. Like, I know, I'm reading
fancy
this.
Fancy Chester.
Fancy guy. He never had a vice president.
But like, best thing Chester Arthur did
was
he threw a garage sale. He sold artifacts to pay for the renovations.
Out of the White House. He sold stuff.
To pay for the renovations of the White House. He actually put a garage. He had a yard sale of other presidential stuff that was at the White House to pay for the renovation of the White House.
He was so fancy, he changed his clothes 3 or 4 times a day.
He was like James Brown. James Brown had 3 wardrobe changes during his funeral.
He had nothing to do.
Oh.
No. Yeah, it was nothing on Chester Arthur. Yeah, Chester Arthur. Yeah, what a... Yeah, so Garfield was assassinated. Chester Arthur becomes president. He never had a vice president.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Right. Even though he was never elected, Gerald Ford. Blake, you can actually talk. You can actually talk to us. Blake's like signing to me. It started with an M. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, we have no idea what signing is.
It started with an M. Right. He was signing to me letters.
Yeah, it was supposed to be 30 minutes left.
Oh, 30 minutes.
We should probably talk. Should we talk about some sponsors?
This is 30. You did M.
Yeah.
Oh, 30 minutes. All right. Yeah, we need to talk about our sponsors. One of our sponsors, and I don't know if you've actually, because they just opened, 90 Degree Pizza and Pasta.
Not yet. They're amazing. 900 Degree Pizza. Holy mother of God.
900 Degree. Sorry, you corrected me. 900 Degree. I might have hit the bourbon too hard tonight. I had a rough meeting today. 900 Degree Pizza and Pasta. Blake and I have eaten there a couple of times, and it's phenomenal. Their pizza is excellent. It's right off Lewis Speedway.
Yeah.
If you go into the high school where the turnoff is for the high school.
Yeah, it's right by the high school.
Yeah, it's just to the left of that. Amazing. The Cheshires, they've done an amazing job over there. And it is a must-go-to pizza place.
Yeah, the pizza is... So I'm one of those guys, I'm always looking for the perfect pizza, looking for the perfect hamburger. The pizza at 900 Degree Pizza is phenomenal. It is genuinely excellent pizza. Go there. And if your kids are staying out in high school, tell them to go there on the way home from school.
Yeah, just tell them to pick it up. Pick it up on the way home. Pick it up on the way home. All right. By the way, this might be the only thing that French has ever done good.
well, I want to talk quickly about one of our other sponsors.
Yes, go ahead.
That's okay. So one of our other sponsors, of course, is Meehan's Irish Pub, right on the bayfront.
Yeah, and it's a special day at Meehan's today.
What is it?
It's Kaiser, the bartender's last day at Meehan's.
You're kidding.
He's opening up his new deli.
That's
on
right.
Anastasia Boulevard.
Kaiser's Deli.
Kaiser, it's right near the Beacon and
it's
our
right
other sponsor.
It's right beside the Beacon.
Super excited, but Meehan's Reggie, they have three very unique bars there.
They really do. So, first of all, Kaiser, best of luck in the new enterprise. What a great bartender. What a great guy.
I'm leaving here and I'm going to go there and tribute because Kaiser's poured a lot of drinks for me.
Yeah. So you can sit at the bar indoors. Drink with Kaiser last night, tonight. You can go upstairs. The Oyster Bar, fantastic. You can,
great view.
Oh,
great view.
Go outside there, look at the bayfront. Out the back. Mm-hmm. If you're out the back and Hubble is bartending, that's as good an experience you're going to have.
Kelly and Hubble.
Magic. Yeah. And Hubble used to bartend at Salt Run Tavern, which I believe my wife met you at Salt Run Tavern.
That's where we met probably in the late 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. Salt Run Tavern. So... Meehan's Irish
Pub. Yeah, because she was going to the school.
She was going to school. Yeah. She was going to USA.
She was in the blue class.
She was a blue
bloater. The blue bloaters. So, now, Meehan's amazing. And I can tell you this. Amazing food. They have great food. And I hate to use the term bar food because it's a level above that.
Oh, it is.
But I had
the
meatloaf the other night. I don't know. Do Irish people really have meatloaf?
I don't know a version of meatloaf.
Yeah. Okay, because this one has a daddle sauce on it. I'm going to tell you right now. I was like, I'm not sure this is Irish, but I'm loving it.
We don't have a huge amount of daddle sauce in Ireland.
Yeah.
I mean we have none.
Zero. Yeah. The percentage is zero.
Zero.
Unless we take it with us.
Yeah, if I was to go over there and bring it with me, absolutely.
Yeah.
But Meehan's, what a place. Great bar. Possibly the nicest man in the town is Reggie Maggs. Without a doubt. Yeah. If you ever need anything,
call
Reggie.
When I meet a nice person, Reggie's the kind of guy, he's so nice, he gets out of the shower to pee. That's how nice he is. I don't know if that's true or not, but he's that nice of a human being.
Has anything finer been ever said about a man?
Yeah. I'm saying that's how nice he is. So... Yeah, opposite of Warren Harding, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. two ends of the spectrum.
To bring it full circle.
Reggie Maggs and Warren Harding.
Yeah. And we got to talk about the Pirate Museum. St. Augustine Pirate Museum. They have over 800 artifacts. We talked a lot about pirates last week. Captain Mayhem, if you get there and Captain Mayhem's there, ask for that tour.
Yeah.
He does such an amazing job. And it's one of those things where it's like, when it first opened, I was like, oh, okay, I'm a little hesitant about it.
Same way.
But I can tell you this, I was in awe of what they have. And Pat Croce, I don't know if you've ever met the man who owns the Pirate Museum. He absolutely loves what he does.
Yeah.
And it's such a good thing he came to St. Augustine.
Yeah, and he's a great advocate for the town.
Yeah.
And Captain Mayhem is too. Yes. He was... So my eldest son went to Palencia, and Palencia are the Palencia Pirates.
Yes.
Palencia Pirates Elementary School.
Okay.
And Captain William Mayhem was regularly at Palencia, regularly helping them with all kinds of drives, all kinds of charitable things. And that's another thing that these guys do. They give so much to needy causes. They're wonderful people. But I go into the Pirate Museum at least once a year. I bring my kids. It is amazing. And it's one of the things that when people come over from Ireland, I tell them, go to the Pirate Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was over in March. He's like, I'm not going to the fucking Pirate Museum. And I'm like, go to the Pirate Museum.
You gotta go.
And then meet me in Meehan's and tell me, was I wrong?
Yes.
He was two hours gone. He comes back. He goes, do you know what? And it kills me to say this.
Mm-hmm.
You were right about the Pirate Museum.
It hurts anytime someone someone's
family.
Right. Yeah, it hurts a
family's
lot. It hurts a lot
right.
when it's family.
Fuck yeah.
It hurts a lot when it's family.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just the Pirate Museum's amazing, and go check it out. All right, but last but not least, and I got to give a lot of credit to these guys.
Okay.
Abair Kresge and Associates, best CPAs in town.
They handle your finances?
They handle my stuff. You know how.
All right, that's a lot of work.
I have a couple businesses.
One or two.
Yeah. And I'm a guy who's a very challenging client. Let's put it at that.
That's very diplomatic of you.
Okay, we're going to put it at that. Yeah. And right. I can tell you what. Aber & Kresge Associates is always taking wonderful care. They pick up the phone when you need them to answer the phone.
Okay.
And they make sure you're doing everything right to keep you out of trouble.
If they can keep you
Out of trouble.
That's fantastic.
I don't know if there's a better endorsement in town.
There really isn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really enjoy it. If you can keep Troy's finances.
I don't know.
Keep him out of trouble.
Blake, would you agree with that? Yeah. As the inheritor of my finances, you're happy. Aber & Kresge's there. Yeah. So, by the way, we're getting nods from Blake because Blake had oral surgery yesterday.
All right. Yeah. How are you doing, Blake? You all right?
I'm in pain.
He's hurting. He's hurting. He's like, he really didn't want to come today, but I was like, dude, you got to be here. You got to be here.
So, why did Clay go on vacation?
He's upset with Clay. So, all right.
Fair enough.
So I'm gonna throw one more president.
Throw one more on me. I could talk about presidents.
There's so many stories out there. You got at least.
We're gonna bring this segment back because there's so much more.
Yeah.
Give me one more.
Yeah, okay. So president that has a Grammy, you know who it is?
Is that Barack Obama?
It's actually Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton's the one with the.
But Obama has an Emmy.
He has an Emmy,
which is bizarre.
Yeah. And the vice president has an Oscar. Al Gore has an Oscar.
Al Gore has an Oscar. That's right. Yeah. What does Bill Clinton have a Grammy for?
So Bill Clinton has two Grammys.
Yeah.
He has two things that he put out on tape, on recordings.
Yeah.
And he won Grammys for the documentary of his verbal speeches. And he came and talked here.
Yeah.
And it was very similar to that type of situation.
That's right. He did talk at the amphitheater.
Yeah.
That was one of my strangest weeks because it was Clinton and then the next night was Tony Bennett. Or was it the other way around?
Oh, yeah. I was doing my walk at that time.
Yeah.
So that took place in 2012. So I couldn't go because I was walking from my house to the White House.
That's right. Yeah. So. I believe I almost killed you. On that first morning, because I was driving home.
You did.
And I wasn't paying attention.
You did. Yeah,
that would've,
you did.
Yeah. Sorry about that, by the way.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So one of the strangest things is Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Okay.
You know Franklin Delano. You heard of him.
Elected four times.
He was elected four times. Hated the number 13.
Triskaidekaphobic.
Yes. Yes, that.
Yeah.
That. And I have two more to talk about. I have Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and I got to talk about Grover Cleveland.
Okay.
Because there's a creepiness with Grover Cleveland that's not matched with anyone else.
Excellent.
Okay? But Franklin Delano Roosevelt married Eleanor Roosevelt.
Roosevelt, yeah.
You know what her maiden name was?
Was it Roosevelt?
It was.
Yes!
It was 100% Roosevelt. All right? And you know who gave Eleanor Roosevelt away at Franklin Delano Roosevelt's wedding?
I have no idea.
Her uncle. You know who her uncle was?
Teddy Roosevelt?
100%. It was Teddy Roosevelt was her uncle. They were fifth cousins. All right? So that wasn't just it. I got to find this list real quick because Franklin Delano Roosevelt was related to multiple people.
Okay? Okay. Go on.
He was not just related to Teddy Roosevelt. He was also, where's my glasses? I got to put them on.
I'll put the glasses on.
Because I don't want to call out the wrong name.
Yeah.
All right. So he was also related to Washington.
Okay.
Both Adams.
Okay.
Madison.
Okay.
Van Buren.
Okay, twice on that one. Just
yeah.
cause.
Yeah. All right. Both Harrisons.
Seriously.
Taylor. Grant and Taft.
Okay, how is that possible?
No, it doesn't end there.
Seriously?
He's also related to Winston Churchill.
Okay.
That's like, ridiculous to me. That is ridiculous. He was related to every human being that ever lived.
It's like the greatest gene pool of all time.
It's amazing to me that he was related to every human being that ever lived. And he would never let anyone else, because he had an infatuation with his dog, Fala.
Okay.
He would not let anyone else ever feed Fala.
Really?
Yeah.
Loved his dog that much.
Yeah, he loved his dog that much. No one else was allowed to feed Fala. It would only happen on, his mistress was allowed every once in a while, never Eleanor.
Never Eleanor.
Yeah.
That's remarkable. Okay, give me the Grover Cleveland. What I know about Grover Cleveland was he was our 22nd and 24th president.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct.
Only person elected in a non-consecutive thingamajig.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
So, Grover Cleveland.
All right.
Grover Cleveland was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. All right? He was a lawyer. His law partner passed away.
Okay.
His law partner passed away. He became legal guardian of his law partner's daughter. You know where I'm going with this, right?
It's going to get real creepy real quick.
It's going to get real creepy. 10 years later, as president, Grover Cleveland marries...
Oh, no.
...his law partner's daughter, who he's been acting as father of. So he is the original Woody Allen.
Oh! He Woody Allen before Woody Allen.
And,
oh, that's bad.
And she... She was 21 years old. So she is the youngest. They got married in the White House.
She's the youngest first lady.
She is the youngest first lady.
Slash first daughter.
And they stayed together. Your first lady daughter.
Oh.
Ever. So that's the creepiest stat.
Yeah.
I think we have today.
Wow. And Grover Cleveland is on our $1,000 bill. So if you have a $1,000 bill out there,
it doesn't exist Grover anymore. Cleveland. Doesn't exist anymore. But it's there.
Wow.
It still could be out there.
That's a lovely note to end on.
Yeah.
And by lovely, I mean, I want to go home and bathe.
Yeah.
Right the fuck now.
It's dirty and icky.
Oh.
It's dirty and icky. Yeah. But they did stay married until his passing.
Wow. President. Okay. I definitely want to bring this segment back because I have so much more things I want
there's
to talk about.
There's so many. I mean, there's so a stack. Many. Look at the stack. I seriously have
I couldn't
so much
it.
Stuff.
And I didn't even
just
look
about creepy.
I didn't
weird,
look
weird
at some of the recent
stuff.
Presidents. You know, I got bogged down in the 19th century ones, the ones I,
yeah,
you know, the Millards and those crazies.
Yeah. And Washington. One of the things about Washington they talk about is wooden teeth. evidently, it was a rhinoceros bones that his teeth was made out of, and the reason they thought it was wooden is because Washington loved to drink wine so much.
Stain the teeth.
It stained the teeth to make it look wood, and it had like a grain to it. And Washington didn't have a lot of money, but if you showed up at his house,
yeah,
he would let you stay there.
Dang. I can't imagine any of the recent fellas allowing you to do that.
No, I don't see Mar-a-Lago being open to the
public. No, I don't think so.
Well, except for the FBI. But you have a different story altogether.
Yeah, and they didn't even knock. They just walked right in.
Maybe
right.
A different story. That's maybe a different story. All right, so we're done with the presidents?
We're done with presidents.
Do you have an angry Irish rant today?
I don't know if it's an angry Irish rant, but it occurred to me recently, okay, so a large number of bars and restaurants all over this great country of ours, mm-hmm. they have drink specials for our military, for our police, for our firefighters, for our medical first responders.
Yes.
And there's never anything for teachers. And I was asking myself, why? Like, are teachers not deserving of half-price drinks? So I asked a friend of mine mm-hmm. in town who owns a bar, and I said, dude. And he said, well, yeah. He said, but, you know, our military, our police officers, our firefighters, our EMTs, mm-hmm. They're all civic heroes.
Yes.
And I said, okay, sure, I agree with you. They are civic heroes. But by any reasonable metric, surely teachers are civic heroes too, right?
They shape the minds of young people.
Teachers teach to make the world a better place. Now, I'm going to give you this one, okay? I'm going to say this. Teachers, wait for it. Are the real job creators of our world. I'm going to say that again. Teachers are the job creators of our world. Mm-hmm. If there's no teachers, there's no doctors, there's no lawyers, there's no engineers, there's no architects, there's no politicians, there's no police officers, there's no military, there's no firefighters, there's no EMTs. Teachers are the guardians of the future. Mm-hmm. And if that's not deserving of a half-price happy hour drink special, then I don't know what is. And I'm going to say this as well. I want to steal the title for teachers, for job creators. I want to steal it from corporations and business owners, right? I'm a teacher. I teach here in St. John's County.
Mm-hmm.
We are the number one school district in the state of Florida.
You are.
And we have
for
been.
For like 9 years.
For the last 15 years straight.
Shit.
And we're one of the number one school districts in the nation. Mm. Our ACT, SAT scores way above the national average.
Yeah.
And are increasing every single year. And these things have been achieved by compassionate, empathetic job creators.
Here's where we're going to love. You're going to love this next comment.
Go on, give it
you're
to me.
You're gonna love and hate it at the
same time. Because I got more to say.
You're gonna love it and hate it at the same time. You are a brilliant man.
That's all a right? lie.
You are. You're a smart guy. And most of my teacher friends are brilliant. And what I tell them is, you are so smart, you're poor by choice. You're poor by choice. It's honorable, but you're poor by choice. Because I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a dipshit. All right, and most of my teacher friends are brilliant people, but they're poor by choice. They chose the honorable track over the financial
you
track.
You have strangely led me beautifully, a beautiful segue into my finish.
I felt like I was doing that.
But, if I may say, have our salaries increased as we continue to improve? No. If you adjust for inflation, teachers today in St. John's County make less today than we did in 2005. Now, can you imagine the outrage if people in the business community got paid less despite making huge performance gains? Can you? So why?
It doesn't happen in my world. That's why I'm saying you're poor by choice.
Hear me out. Why is there no outpouring of outrage when teachers do this? I'll tell you why. I blame marketing, right? Teaching is not a sexy... It's not a sexy profession. Teaching has no street cred. There's no buzz. There's no respect. And here's the thing. Teachers should get respect. Because I'm going to tell you and remind you what teachers do every single day for every single kid. We make kids work harder than anybody else. That we make them work harder than they ever thought possible. We make them think.
Push them.
We unlock their imagination. We make them wonder. We drive them to achieve their full potential. We dare them to dream and to achieve their dreams. We make them read, we make them write, we make them challenge accepted notions, we inspire and we guide. And you know why we do it? We do it because we believe, all cheesy cliches aside, we believe that our children are our future. Thank you. And we believe that they deserve the best they can give.
That was Whitney Houston, not you.
Every single day. So here's what I want, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to rebrand right now. We're not going to be called teachers anymore. It's rebranding time, right? Teachers are at the center of our country's economic universe. We are the job creators. We, teachers, create jobs. And it is time, America and St. John's County and Florida, to fall back in love with teachers. Give us the respect we deserve and give us the salary we deserve. And that's all I'm going to say.
That's my favorite Irish angry Irishman of all time.
But Derek, I have something to ask you right now that deals with job creators right now.
Yeah.
So recently Florida has announced that the military veterans and veteran spouses are now allowed to teach like for like a 5-year waiver. What's your opinion on that?
Oh, that's a murky ground. I'll get myself in trouble if you get my honest opinion on that one.
We're going to hold that question. That's a great question.
I will answer it this way.
Okay.
You should not be allowed to be a teacher in a classroom if you haven't got proper teacher training.
Credentials.
I know lots of people think it can happen. I have seen people come in from other professions to teach. I have seen some former military people come in to teach. Some of them have been amazing teachers. And some of them have not lasted a week because walk into a room full of hormonal 9th and 10th graders, that can ruin a human being.
Have I ever told you my teacher's story?
No, go on.
Because I was going to be a teacher. I was 100% going to be a baseball coach and a teacher.
All right.
I know it sounds crazy with what I do today.
Yeah.
But the whole reason I'm not a teacher is because I have a weak bladder. All right. Teachers out there 100% get what I'm saying. All right. So I decided to substitute before I became a teacher. Okay. Between my junior and senior year, Flagler got out early.
Okay.
I decided to substitute. My hometown's DeLand.
All right.
I still have a place in DeLand. My hometown, I love DeLand. My second home. St. Augustine's my love. But I decided to substitute in that gap to make a little extra money.
Yeah.
When I was substituting, and I don't know if you remember this name, and he's very popular in the UK, so I don't know if you know this name, Terrence Trent D'Arby.
I do know who that is, yeah.
So wishing well and stuff like that. I substituted for Mrs. D'Arby, his mom's class.
Okay.
And she was in a portable that was way far away from the bathrooms. I had to call the principal's office to come relieve me to watch my class so I didn't pee my pants.
Yeah.
So I could... Teachers have great respect with their bladder strength.
This is a real problem. I have a sort of a follow-up story to that. When I was teaching at Landrum Middle School, I was in a portable. And this was when it was decided that middle school teachers didn't need a planning period during the day. They could have a planning period.
Like it was
period.
Zero planning period? Zero.
You would have a planning period at the end of the day, which was technically legal, but it meant that there was no opportunity ever to go to a bathroom.
Oh, shit.
And one of our former superintendents was subbing one day at the portable across from me. And about four periods in, he's standing across from me, shouting at me, going, "When do you go to the bathroom?" And I went, "You don't." And by the
way,
this was your idea.
Yeah. I can tell you right now. And then on that day, when I had to call for another adult to come watch my class to go pee, I decided... I'm not going to be a teacher. And at that point, I went to recreation and sports management. And I can tell you, that was the day I was Terrence Trent D'Arby's mom's class. I was watching.
Wish you well. Kiss and tell.
Yeah. Super popular in the UK. But I went to school. He's a year older than me. Terrence is a year older than me. But on that day, I decided I wasn't going to be a teacher. All right. Speaking of going to the bathroom. One last presidential...
Oh, please. Yes, go.
Fact. One president's life was saved because he had to go shit.
Okay. Whose life was saved because
they came for that? Thank you for that. LBJ.
LBJ was...
LBJ was supposed to go on a bombing trip. He was on like the Wabash. I think it was called the Wabash something or another. And he's like, ugh, he had a boiler.
Yeah.
He had a boiler going. And he's like, all right, I got to go. So he leaves. He was on the plane.
All right.
He leaves the plane to go take a shit. Okay. He comes back to the plane. The plane had already taken off. The plane got shot down.
Wow.
On that mission. And that's why LBJ was still alive. Because he had to take a shit.
Wow. His number two saved him.
His dude saved his life.
That's brilliant.
It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So I'm sorry we're laughing about it, but I think we have enough time between.
Yeah, I think you can laugh at LBJ's shit.
Yeah, I think it's laugh quality.
Yeah, I think so too.
In our history of world. Because no, you don't read that.
No, they don't put that
history,
in the books.
It's not in the history books. They talk about him holding his beagles by the ears, but not a great human being. Another person you talk about like...
Me.
He was not a good person. He would walk in the room with his penis out.
Oh, yeah.
He'd go, what do you think?
Yeah.
Something you could not do in today's society.
Should not do
in any society.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. But LBJ was saved because he had to go number two.
That's fantastic.
All right, so we're going to move on to boarding schools.
Boarding schools.
I know you have a certain... We talked about angry Irishmen, but you have a certain angry... And my boarding school story is more related to St. Augustine.
And it's a damn good story.
Your boarding school story is more related to your entire life.
Yeah. I did. I attended boarding school, like my brother and my father and my uncle and my grandfather, all the same place. Yeah, the boarding schools are fascinating. The concept of them, like I actually looked up this week why boarding schools exist.
Yes.
And they go back, like the earliest one was like 597. Mm-hmm. And there's one in England today that was opened in 1382, Winchester College, and it is still open.
And it's 597 AD.
597 AD, okay. Yeah.
But Anno Domini.
Yeah, Anno Domini, right? The year of the Lord. So Winchester College has been open since 1382. And the whole reason behind it was this idea that you would get young men into clergy, into clerical positions, or they become scribes and writers for good houses, that kind of thing, right? And so it's evolved from there, and then it became a way to get the right people into the right schools, and became a, you know, very fancy and old boy network. Like in England, you got Eton and Harrow, and I think 15 prime ministers of England went to Eton, including, you know, Boris Johnson, and Churchill went to Harrow, and Robert Peel, all these different people.
All of them went to respectable
places. Pinkies, but they were beaten. They were just murdered to death in these schools, right? So, but the boarding school thing really took off when England was the colonial power.
Yes.
And the idea that the guys who were away in the colonies could still have the formal, wonderful British education for their sons, and they could send them home, or they could even have these boarding schools in the colonies and protect the kids, right?
Yes.
In Ireland, you had the British powers having the sort of upper-class Protestant boarding schools that the majority, and by majority I mean 98% of the population, Catholic, could not attend.
Yes.
And they were there to keep us down, right?
So step on your head.
Right. Yeah. So we responded, of course, by founding our own Catholic boarding schools, right? And, of course, they became, you know, factories, and they were basically breeding grounds for priests is what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And breeding grounds for abuse. And if you've paid any attention to anything that has gone on in Ireland or Catholic Church related in the last 25 years, I think you understand just what happened at some of these boarding schools.
What was the name of the boarding school you went to?
I went to St. Finian's College,
St. Mullingar.
St. Finian's College, yes. Which is interesting because my older brother's name is Finian.
Oh, Finn.
And my father's middle name was Finian.
Finian.
Yeah. And
you have a child name.
I have a child named Finn.
Yeah.
We were the Diocesan College of Meath, right? So the Bishop of Meath was our patron. School was over 200 years old. And it was...
Sounds super respectful.
Oh, super respectful. It was violent and angry and terrifying and... lots of other things that I probably can't talk about on any show at all.
I think our audience is one of the smarter audience. We only have like 4 minutes left.
Okay.
Like actually 2 minutes left is what Blake just told us.
Yeah.
But so your boarding school experience, we're not going to go with positive.
No, not positive.
Yeah, we're going to go with a negative number.
A negative number, yes. Okay. Yeah,
a negative number with that.
Yeah.
All right, and... my boarding school story.
Okay.
Because I didn't go to boarding school. I grew up on a pig farm.
You were lucky.
I grew up on a pig farm. I went to public schools. I went to DeLand.
Yeah.
Went through public schools. Not top of my class, not bottom of my class. I was somewhere in the middle.
Comfortably.
C students rule the world.
That's right.
So I'm a strong C+ student. All right. So I didn't know about boarding schools. So I went to research, and there was two that really stuck out to me. All right, so the Devereux School,
okay,
which is a school that, like in Florida, that had like just random bodies found 100 years later. Yeah, it was a horrible school,
terrible.
All right, but I decided to go with St. Augustine based.
Okay,
so the Carlisle School for Native American Indians was here. And people don't realize it even existed in St. Augustine.
I did not know that until today.
It was here in St. Augustine. And a lot of people, you know, it was a school.
Where was it?
It was at the fort. It may or may not have been a prison. All right?
Yeah.
So they would try and kill the Indian to save the man.
Save the man. That was the Carlisle motto. Kill the Indian.
Kill the Indian.
Save the man.
Save the man. They wanted to crush that culture.
Yeah.
And that act actually went into place in the early 1800s.
Yeah.
So Pratt, who was here, who was the schoolmaster, was here. He seemed to be a pretty good human being, but he was very warped in his thoughts.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't realize... that Geronimo, everyone knows Geronimo.
Yeah.
Geronimo, if you watch the movie Geronimo, they talk about him being shipped to Fort Marion.
Yeah.
Which is the Castillo de San Marcos.
Yeah.
He never made it. But two of his wives did.
That's right.
And his children made it. And they went through the Carlisle School.
Yeah.
And what they wanted to do is basically they were indigenous servants.
Yeah.
And like it was a school, but it was mandatory you had to be there. It was a prison. It was a prison. And a lot of boarding schools throughout history. And probably the most famous, you talked about this before, the most famous Carlisle student is?
Jim Thorpe.
Probably the greatest athlete of all time.
Of all time, yeah. Yeah, we could go on forever about this, and I would like to talk about Jim Thorpe another day.
Yeah, well, that's a story Jim that Thorpe might be its own topic
that
altogether.
That should be his own topic.
Because I think he's the greatest athlete, maybe one of the most influential people ever in athletics.
For sure.
So,
yeah, I would guarantee you can't make me an argument that says someone who was a better athlete than Jim Thorpe.
No, I'm a big Bo Jackson guy, but Jim Thorpe, different level. Different, 100% different level. I want to say thank you to our sponsors. Blake, thank you for coming in. I know you weren't feeling great. I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, Blake.
Thank you, Derek. Great. That was a great whiskey, by the way. I'm not going to lie. That was a great whiskey. I know your Modellas are killing it. All right. But I want to say thank you to our sponsors, 900 Degree Pizza and Pasta. I'm sorry, I might be slurring a little bit. I'm about four drinks in. Abraham Kresge and Associates, the Gypsy Cab, and the Beacon Listening Room, Meehan's Irish Pub, I'm coming to see you soon, and the St. Augustine Pirate Museum. Thank you guys much. Please share. Please share this show. We're trying to make it bigger and better. Great show.
Thanks, Troy.
Great show. So Pleasure. Much fun.
All Thanks, right. everybody. This and is share.
This is Bollocks Talking Tangents, and we'll be back next week.
Thank you.